Welcome to, I would say this week's, but the return of Two Men in the Middle. I'm Craig Huey.
I'm Brandon Kinnig.
This is where two men in the middle of the country get together and talk about politics, current events, and other fun stuff. Brandon, it has been a while since you and I both got together and talked.
Yes, it's been about 5 months. So yeah. The last podcast was beginning of October. I had some family health issues I had to attend to with my mother, and those kind of spiraled and went through the end of the year. And then those have been resolved now starting to begin the year. But I'll admit it's difficult to get back in the groove after being out of it. And then
life is always the enemy of the amateur podcast.
It is.
It always gets in the way.
We're human. We're not AI. We all have lives. Right. We all have commitments. And
we just need to get somebody to start paying us, Brandon.
There you go. That would make it easier. We need like endorsements. We need like product like
Brandon,
deals.
Would you get paid to do this 5 days a week? I got to tell you, I don't think I'd do it. Could you talk about politics?
I don't know that I could do it 5 days a
could
week.
Could we do a 90-minute show 5 days a week?
No, that would be rough. Yeah.
I don't think we could do it.
I don't think I could do that either.
So if we spend some time on the phone today trying to walk through, how are we going to catch up on all this time?
Where do we start? Yeah.
You just mentioned it before we turned the mics on that the last time we podcast, the Gaza assault on Israel had just happened.
October 7th.
And now we're 5 months into the Israeli response.
Right, which again shows no end in sight. It feels like this has been, you know, something that continues, just kind of like with the war in Ukraine. We have these like never-ending conflicts now that just continue.
So we decided it's too much to try to cover all of that stuff. We're just going to focus in on the election, Trump, Biden, what we feel is happening in the election right now, where we feel this is going, and kind of what's our perspective right now on the race itself, who is actually winning, what do the polls mean, what does this campaign look like, and maybe we'll get back into this, just trying to walk through where are we at in the election cycle, and where is this thing going, and where does this end up? What are we in for the next 9 months?
And it's interesting to go ahead and revisit if we go back a year ago, back at the height of DeSantis mania when he was riding high in the polls and everybody was trying to consolidate around him and thought he would be the anti-Trump, you know, to rise up. And, you know, we've come so far from that. And it was interesting during that time. I can't recall exactly some of our conversations on the pod, but I know that I was always somewhat skeptical of DeSantis being able to retain that momentum because, number one, he was not trying to carve out a position as the anti-Trump or being different than Trump. He was trying to run to Trump's right and to be even more extreme, more crazy than Trump. And I've said all along, when given a choice between Trump and Trump Lite, people are always going to go for Trump if they're prone to that. They're not going to go for the lesser version.
It made no sense for DeSantis to run.
Because DeSantis doesn't even have any of the like charisma or just entertainment value that Trump has. He's not an engaging person. He doesn't have a good stump demeanor.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's nothing to compensate, you know, for what somebody would get choosing him versus Trump.
Brandon, I'm going to give us credit because at some point in time in the election last cycle in 2020, we talked about if you're running for president, you have to make the case of why it's urgent and important for you to be present.
Right.
This has to happen, and it has to happen right now. Trump in 2016 made a great pitch to why it was urgent and important. We have to make America great again. What was urgent about Ron DeSantis becoming president, and why was it important that Ron DeSantis was the next president of the United States? I just think he never asked himself those questions, and he never formulated a pitch around urgency or importance.
Well, most of the candidates that had an opportunity didn't make that case either, and that was part of the problem. And looking back in hindsight, it's laughable that, you know, we had this string of Republican debates that Trump didn't even participate in that made no difference at the end of the day because Trump is just like sailing away with the nomination. So in the future, I think, well, again, I guess Trump may be a kind of a unique phenomenon to this point in history.
Oh, we're going
to
get into that because I don't think Trump's
okay, we'll talk about that because I don't know that there's anybody that can still carry the same type of leverage that he has over the electorate to the degree that he has and be this the Teflon Don, as you know, people
but
call him.
Did you, as we get through the primary, did you ever seriously think any of them was going, any one of those people were going to challenge Donald Trump? Was there any serious contender to Trump's nomination?
No, based on who was in the race. No,
not at all.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis, I have a very soft spot in my heart for Ron DeSantis because Ron DeSantis created the most homoerotic piece of campaign video that has ever been produced and that ever will be produced. And if anybody wants to know, if you haven't seen it, just
find
just
it on
Google
YouTube.
Ron DeSantis homoerotic ad,
and
you're going to see
else.
It. And I remember, Brandon, when this came out, I Googled it and looked at a lot of homoerotic material to make sure it's squarely on that. Ron DeSantis was not up for prime time. Everything that people said about him being weird and being bad at retail, all of it came to pass. And everybody else had shortcomings or alternate all reasons for being on that stage. And Trump has never been challenged. Let's get to the first big point that I think we may have some debate points on about Trump and the current election. Trump is the Republican Party. There is no other form of Republicanism besides Trump's. The Republican Party is straight MAGA, and he told everybody 2 nights ago at some rally in Virginia, hey, if you ain't with me, just go ahead and hit the exit.
His daughter-in-law said the same
MAGA
recently.
Party.
Right.
So is there anything left to the Republican Party that's not MAGA that can or could ever mount a defense against Trump's assault on the party and Trump's takeover of the party?
Well, that's the problem, because what is left that is not MAGA is not a majority. They don't have a majority foothold, so where can they be effective? I mean, they can't within the party, with the current sentiment.
Except your mic a little bit, Brandon.
I mean, so they are on the outs. I mean, MAGA is the mainstream of the party now. We used to talk about it as, alt-right, but it's the mainstream right at this point.
So, Brandon, help me out. If you're not MAGA as a Republican, what are you?
Well, I mean, people would argue that those people are no longer Republican, that they're out of step with their own party. Now, many of them have remained registered Republicans, although many of them have changed affiliation. But really, they're out, just on an island. They're not accepted within their own party.
Mitt Romney's not a Republican anymore. Because Mitt Romney can't win an election as a Republican.
No. But, I mean, think about many of the – I don't want to say many because there aren't that many left, but the few remaining establishment old-school Republicans that are left. I mean, it's the same with all of them. Lisa Murkowski would probably not win again. There's several of those figures.
Mitt Romney can't win in Utah.
No.
Mitt Romney can't win in Utah because there's no Republican Party, as Mitt Romney knows it, left in Utah.
Well, let's talk about James.
It's not there.
James Langford, the senator from Oklahoma, yeah. Who's as conservative as they come, but by virtue of cutting this immigration deal, he would never win re-election again.
No.
I guarantee you he's not going to run again because he would lose a primary to a MAGA candidate. He's on the outs.
James Langford is as conservative
yes.
gets. I mean, he is not some shill or some plant or some rhino. He is a true conservative.
But he is a deal maker and he's a problem solver, and that's not
Which
allowed.
Which means he's done.
He's done.
So he's not a Republican.
Nope.
The point that I keep kind of rolling around in my mind, to be a Republican, you must be able to win a race, an election, as a Republican. If you are a Republican in name, but you have no support, then you're really not relevant to the party. So this whole, if you're not the MAGA section of the party, my point is there's nothing left to go back to. There's nothing left to influence. There's not enough left of the old style neocon Chamber of Commerce conservatives to have any form of influence on the current Republican Party.
No. I mean, essentially, they need to be unaffiliated or switch to the Democratic Party. I mean, to have any type of influence at all. That's where it is. Now, that segment of the party, if they're still in the party, would argue the dilemma that MAGA has is they can win primaries, but they often fail to win general elections, as we've
sure.
seen time and time again in Senate and House races. But MAGA doesn't seem to care about that because they keep renominating some of these same figures that continue to lose, like Carrie Lake. Like, it doesn't matter that they lose over and over again. They nominate these people, and they continue to go for crazy, extreme people. So at the end of the day, I think MAGA doesn't really care if they win because they're not about political wins as much as they're about messaging wins.
Well, I guess that's where I've struggled, and that's where I've been wrong consistently trying to kind of evaluate what the Republicans and Trump, what their strategy is moving forward. Because I have toiled under the delusion that there is an event or a person that can pivot the Republican Party back to what I know the Republican Party to be. That is 100% not correct. There's no one person that can do that. And even if there were, there's no ground to pivot back to.
It's not the same party.
That's my point. I mean, it's not the same party.
Reagan, H.W. Bush, G.W. Bush, neither of them could win a primary today. Neither of them could come close to the presidency today. All of them are so out of step with what the modern day Republican Party is in the Trump era. And so I don't even know. It's just an entirely different party. I mean, it's like the only thing to compare it to is like the shifting of the parties, like during slavery abolitionist era, mm-hmm. after the Civil War, when you started to see the parties shift just before and after, and that was based on a single issue. This is much more than that because this is based on, emotion and there's so much more caught up in it. It's not issue driven at all.
So Trump goes into 2024 with complete command of the Republican Party. He controls the membership as he's telling people, I will boot you out if you mm-hmm. don't support me.
The RNC.
He controls the RNC to the point that he's putting his family, basically his co-chair, Laura Trump, who's that chick who did the Tom Petty horrible song or some shit. I don't know what.
Which,
her
by the way, the
are.
Fact that this was happening, this is what happens in like banana republic countries. I immediately thought of, this is something Kim Jong Un would do. He'd put mm-hmm. his sister in charge of the Communist Party in North Korea.
Secret
this has happened in the United States.
I think Kim Jong Un's sister's pretty hot. Have you seen her before?
I have. Yeah,
she just sits there with that death look on her face all the time.
They pan the cameras to her during the last Olympics yeah. quite a bit when yeah. she was yeah.
And thirdly, Trump controls every penny of the RNC, every penny of whatever super PACs are still left. He controls the complete finances from head to toe. So in, 7 short years, Trump has completely destroyed the areas of the party that didn't support him and would never support him, completely codified his ideology across the entire party, and taken hold, complete control of the finances.
It's
heading
remarkable,
into
really.
This election, he has everything at his back from a party structural perspective.
Despite continually piling up losses, because mm-hmm. this is the thing, the Republican Party at the presidential level has not won the popular vote in over 20 years. The
sure.
last time was 2004. And actually, if you go back before that, they've only won it like once in the last 30 years, which is crazy to think about. And yet, loss after loss, it none of it seems to matter.
No.
It doesn't dent Trump's popularity or the support he has among mainstream Republicans.
Donald Trump is more popular today than he was when he was in the presidency. He has gained popularity since he left office. I offer no explanation for that.
Well, I mean, I think it just validates that this is not a standard party as much as it's a movement and it's a cult of personality, because only a cult of personality would be the case where, results don't matter. It's
yeah.
just undying loyalty, because that's what this is. It's undying loyalty no matter what the consequence, no matter what the outcome, electorally, policy-wise, none of that matters. It's just fealty
yeah.
to Trump, and that's it. And that's what everybody's judged by.
The only one he doesn't have under his thumb is Nikki Haley. As we're sitting here on Super Tuesday, Nikki Haley's not going to win a state. She may win a territory or something.
Yeah.
But this is just a suicide run by her. And I guess now she's picked up the mantle that Chris Christie had, that she is the anti-Trump and she's doing this to present some sort of contrast to Trump.
Yeah,
it's not really an option.
I do appreciate her staying in the race to show that Trump isn't like getting 100%, that there is, there still are some people who are anti-Trump and they're registering their protest vote, and there are those protest votes happening. I mean, because it would have been easy. I mean, DeSantis got out of the race right away, and they could have easily, the verbiage that was being thrown around by Romney Daniel at the time was, you know, they wanted to just go ahead and treat Trump as the eventual nominee, even before, like, the third primary. Which
Why not?
Was crazy.
It's his party.
But we, again, Brandon, this is what you're doing.
Brandon, we just went through all of the reasons why he owns it lock, stock, and
but
barrel.
But we are not a regime. You don't do that except in, like,
Nikki Haley
authoritarian regimes.
Running
it's
for
insane.
This for president as a Republican is like me declaring myself a – it's like me running under the Whig party. She's running under a party that doesn't exist.
Which is – crazy, because if you think about it, when Nikki Haley was elected governor, it was back in 2010 during the Tea Party wave, and she was the outsider running against the Good Old Boys Network in South Carolina, and now it's 180 degrees different. She's considered too establishment, too moderate, despite not being very moderate. She's just semi-pragmatic, but that's enough to be cast as a moderate in today's language. It's really unfathomable, but I do think that there is some value in just drawing that contrast. And I know it's performative, but I appreciate that she gets under Trump's skin. The fact that it bothers him so much that he has any opposition, because he, you know, doesn't want to have anybody oppose him at any level. And I do think it's funny. So DC Republicans are not representative Republicans anywhere else in the country because these are consultants, former government people, white
collar.
They
make money off government. They like government.
And they tend to be more moderate in ideology and disposition and policy. But someone did bring up the fact is most DC Republicans, many of them in one way or another, were impacted by the Trump administration. They either worked for federal agency, they worked for federal contractors. They saw Trump up close and personal right there in their backyard. So them voting against him, it kind of tells you that, you know, they know what he was like and they don't want to go back to that. So.
I think you and I have very different opinions of Nikki Haley, too. My opinion of her is not very high, and I think you have a higher opinion.
Has never been very high, and I've always been disappointed with her, and I've said that. But I do think at times throughout this campaign, she has stood her ground and she has been able to articulate what I see as the type of Republican that I identify with and that I was, you know, back in the day. And so I respected that. Now, she hasn't been consistent about it. She hasn't taken the fight to Trump until recently, when she should have done that last year as soon as she got in. But I do like that she's at least, you know, kind of staked her, you know, ground as an alternative, even if that's diminishing so quickly before our eyes. I feel like there needs to be some type of internal opposition, someone to say, hey, this is the road we could go down, so that if Trump doesn't win or if he does flame out at some point, she can say, hey, I offered an alternative. You didn't take it. And let's also not overlook the fact that in most national polling, she leads Biden by like 10 points, like in astronomical.
Those are the dumbest polls I've ever seen in my life, because, again, where is the explanation of what happened to the front runner in that poll? Right?
Yeah.
So what happened that Trump didn't win and Haley won? Where did Trump support go? It didn't go to Haley. No Trump supporters voting for Haley. If you think, and I'm just saying the general audience here, if anyone thinks that Haley is truly 15 points in front of Biden, you don't really know a lot about politics.
Well, no, but I think I don't believe it's that high, but I do think as a general election candidate, she presents a much more, like, a larger coalition that she can build.
I would love
Trump
to take on Nikki Haley, because the 35% of people that are hardcore MAGA, they go back to where they were before Trump came.
Just not voting.
They disappear.
Yeah.
They disappear. That poll is so infuriating because, again, does that poll assume that Trump endorsed Haley? How does she carry the Republican support our Trump has? There's no way she's 15 points up on Biden.
Well,
I think that's the weirdest poll I've ever seen.
Of polling in general, and we can go all day long about this in terms of Biden's low popularity rating, what the polls are saying, obviously, is behind Trump. I do, and for a while now, have felt that the polls may be off, and not just in terms of like underestimating Biden generally, but just off in this day and era with being able to get representative samples of people, especially in an age where people don't answer their phones. Do you know how many times I've been contacted for phone polls and I do not respond? And I'm somebody who is in politics.
You're
and
the
lives
target
and breathes
they're
this,
looking for,
and I don't
and
respond.
They still can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Polling is screwed up, but that poll is always. Makes me scratch my head.
Yeah.
Brandon, simple yes, no question. Is there any Republican other than Trump that can be the president in 2024? No.
Based on the writing on the ground, no. I mean, based on...
By the fact that he controls so much of that base and will simply take them home
with
him.
He does, but that's the dichotomy of Trump. He inspires the loyalty of this huge base that he needs, but then conversely, he repels so many
everybody
people
else.
So that's the problem.
So on one side of the coin, we have Trump, who from a party perspective has let everything is locked up, everything is under his control. Any candidate would kill to have that position.
Yeah.
Problem is, he ain't got no money.
Right.
And he ain't got no money because Trump has soaked up every Republican dollar for the past 7 years. And I just don't think there's that much money left.
I don't know how much money the sneakers are bringing in, you know, the gold sneakers.
I mean,
see they reduced the price? They slashed it from.
They were all sold out.
They're only like $200 now.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess they brought in more inventory and they slashed the price. So.
He went to SneakerCon and put just ridiculous.
Did that feel like we were living in
Guatemala?
Right, some alternative.
And
universe.
No offense to Guatemala, just what is this? I don't know.
What was that movie that came out several years ago about like futuristic America where everybody is?
Idiocracy.
Idiocracy. Yeah, that was like an Idiocracy moment for me.
It got real close to Terry Crews being, you know, the president Nacho Hernandez something.
Right. Yeah.
So one half of this coin is Trump, and Trump is Trump, and he is what it is. And I give the man credit that he doesn't change much, and he is Trump. The real story on this is Biden and how poorly Biden has executed as president. Not in a policy perspective. Biden has a policy record that I think any president
that would rival
would go out
in the
modern era. Vigorously
yeah.
defend and do very well getting a second term. The problem is Biden is not capable of presenting that argument.
No.
And my evidence is, well, have you seen it the last 6 or 7 months? He doesn't do a lot of press conferences.
Nope, doesn't do a
Has
lot
he
of
come
interviews.
Out and really adamantly pounded the table about the CHIPS Act and what it's done? And
he didn't do the marquee Super Bowl interview that usually every sitting president does.
We talked about that today. I mean, you're in digital marketing, Brandon, for fuck's sake. I mean, that 60 million people, CBS,
yeah.
they give you a Stephanopoulos or whatever. This is a layup.
And why would you
couldn't
not
even execute on that? My point with Biden is he's not going to campaign because he's not capable of campaigning. He's not going to have any debates. One, we don't need them. And two, he couldn't debate anyway. And Joe Biden right now is probably the most unpopular president, certainly of my lifetime and maybe of the last 100 years. This is something that took me a couple months for it to kind of sink in. Biden is very unliked. He is not a popular president. Part of that goes back to his poll numbers collapsed popularity at Afghanistan.
Yeah.
They've
never recovered from that.
And he's incapable of recovering his polling numbers. Is Biden in as bad a shape as he looks, as the polling looks, or is there something else happening here that's going to impact this race in a positive way for Joe Biden?
Well, I would say, number one, we're still 7 months out.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's like an eternity in politics.
Nope.
So world events, all kinds of things can happen. Biden's numbers were also hampered by the war in Gaza and the collapse in support among young people who are very upset about that. So that's been a challenge. So that reduced his numbers even further. I do think we're in a modern era in politics where I don't know that we'll ever see a president, I don't want to say like ever, but at least for the foreseeable future, get over 50% approval rating.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time. It was definitely pre-Trump era. I mean, you have to go back to like Obama very early in his term where he was 50% plus favorable. But we're in this cycle now where the electorate is so polarized that there's baked in opposition no matter what. And so it's hard to get over 50, and so most presidents are mired somewhere in the high 40s or lower. The problem with Biden is he's like 39, 38, depending on where you think he is. So that's the problem that he's facing. And then the country in on the wrong track direction.
Yeah.
And part of the problem is that a lot of that is based on emotion and feeling. So despite like all of these improving economic indicators, I don't know if it's a question of that information not getting out or Biden not having surrogates to be able to
bring that message home. Because Biden himself can't get it out.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. But I was looking back. And from the time that Trump took office, 55% plus of Americans have said the country is on the wrong track. So that has never changed from 2017, yeah. Essentially. I think it's like higher now, 65%, but it's always been 55 or higher. Like we've never – so if you think about that, it's been like 8 years now. We haven't had a single moment in polling where less than 55% of Americans said the country was on the wrong track. So it feels like no matter what happens,
it's a vibes election. The vibes are bad.
There's that. Yeah, I think. But so the vibes are bad. I think there are some things that can overcome that. You know, Gaza, if there is some type of meaningful truce in terms of the fighting there,
Can Biden do that, get credit for? Can Biden operate the way a president operates so that has a positive impact on his campaign?
I think he could, but he needs to do things like have a primetime press conference.
Please.
I mean, like there are normal, he can exercise the levers of the Oval Office, and he hasn't used those to any ability like he can. I mean, if you go back, that was one thing Trump was very good at. Remember, he would send out the stimulus checks with his name on it.
Oh, yeah.
He reinforced everything. He did the primetime conferences, even as wacky as they were during COVID daily. Like Trump used the power of the presidency.
Yeah.
And Biden does not.
Because he can't. That's the issue. He can't use the power of the presidency. The biggest advantage any president, why 95% of them get reelected, is the power of incumbency.
Because that's what a lot of people say in focus groups is they're like, we don't see Biden ever. We don't hear from him. We don't see him. And so that allows the right-wing narrative to take hold. And so people think, well, he's just inept. Like, we don't see him, so that has to be it.
So the other thing that allows it to take hold, and we talked about this today, if you don't watch Fox a lot, if you don't take a tour through OAN and Newsmax, which I wouldn't suggest it, if you don't get out on the fringes a little bit of media, like your Charlie Kirks, your Jack Posobiec's, your Steve Bannon's, if you're one of the millions of people that's where you get your news, you have seen clips after clips after clips of Biden just looking awful. Walking into walls, not knowing where he's at. He has to be helped out of rooms. This is things that I think MSNBC and CNN chop off a little bit, that the other networks, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, they just and run them in montages.
I have watched enough of that to now fall to the side. Biden is not capable of doing 4 more years as the president. It is a joke that the Democrats are presenting him again as a candidate. I understand if a sitting president wants to run, it's not a lot you can do to make him not run. But the Democrats, I think you disagree with me on this, but if the election's held today, we lose. We lose the presidency. And if something doesn't change, we're going to lose in November.
I don't disagree. If the election were held today, he would lose. I guess what I do disagree with is I think that there definitely is a possibility things can change. There's a long time until November, and there are plenty of things, existential events, changes in how Biden presents himself, and the binary choice that people have between Trump and Biden, depending on what Trump comes out and says or if he instigates something. There are plenty of things like that that can change the course of the election.
Well, I agree with that. I think it's only bad for Biden. I don't think there's lots he can do to improve. I think this is just a presentation issue for an 82-year-old dude that's not going to get any better.
But Trump is 78, so we're talking about semantics here, 78, 82. Like,
have you watched Trump, too, the last month?
Yeah, I mean, he is not altogether with it. I mean, he doesn't know who he's running against. He confused Nikki Haley with Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. He confuses Biden with Obama half the time.
This is where I don't want to get into a who's more demented, because Trump is just – I mean, I watched Trump 15 minutes of whatever his last rally was in Virginia. He couldn't speak. He
gets halfway
through a sentence, stops, and just heads in another direction. He mush mouths half his words.
By the way, did those speeches still drag on for like hours?
An hour and a half. And people are like, he's got the energy to go 90 minutes. He didn't say anything. I guess the only issue is when people try to say, well, Trump's as bad as Biden and it'll exit. It won't, because Biden is the president. That is different. It carries a different weight.
It does, but I think this is a very different election, and that really you have two incumbents running against each other. For all intents and purposes, Trump is also an incumbent president. We've never been in a scenario where we've had a former president run against a current president in this manner. And so I don't think this is normal in terms of incumbent versus challenger. This is really incumbent versus incumbent. And I think that changes the game. And I think that opens up a line of attack if Biden, or if not Biden, his surrogates, to say, you know, do we really want to go back to Trump? We've seen what this is like. Make this a question about democracy, about stability, be able to paint that picture. There is a way that you can draw a contrast with this election and really, you know, show what the stakes are. But they haven't done that. And so that's been the problem. Damn. There hasn't been anybody who's stepped up and done that effectively.
I wrote down the word when you said incumbent, because I thought that was interesting. Because if you look at Trump's performance in the primary, one way to look at it is he running as an incumbent or is he running a contested primary? Because if he's running a contested primary, just a standard primary, he's blowing – he's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Brandon, who is the first and only Republican to win Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina?
Donald J. Trump.
If it is a contested primary, he is the runaway winner.
But see, and I would argue this is not a contested primary, because since day one, since he lost in 2020, since January 6th, Trump has argued that the election was rigged, that he won. And so if you go by that and by what a majority of his voters think, he's the president. He's the legitimate president, and he never stopped being president. And he won the 2020 election, so technically he's the incumbent.
So if we judge him by he's the incumbent, he's doing really shitty, really shitty. As an incumbent president running, he can't crack, 65% of the vote?
Yeah.
That's awful. You mean to tell me that if Biden were running right now and that doofus Phillips was getting 35%?
Oh, the media would be in a tailspin.
That's right, because that's an incumbent president running very poorly in a primary. So part of what's also really kind of clouding the picture is how is Trump doing in these primaries? It's obvious he's going to win. What does this Nikki Haley protest vote mean, if anything?
Well, and this may be where you and I disagree, but I think that there are segments of those Nikki Haley voters that are fertile ground for Biden to target and to flip. There are people that are uneasy. I mean, the polling, exit polling with some of these voters shows that there's upwards of 20 to 25% who said that Trump is not mentally fit to be president.
Sure.
So when you have those types of numbers of people responding to that, those are people that are reachable.
How? Trump has been the same disgusting, lying ass he's been since 2016. If anything, his behavior has only gotten worse if you throw in after the election. And he's more popular today than he was when he left office. Who's more popular, Trump or Biden?
Trump is right now. Not Trump, by a lot, but
Trump
yes.
Trump doesn't have a popularity problem, I don't think. I mean, I just don't think.
But he's still underwater overall with the
Trump
electorate.
Trump doesn't have a coalition problem. He has his coalition. And he's not trying to build any more.
But it's the same coalition he had in 2020.
The problem which if he has that same coalition, he's going to win. Why he didn't win in 2020, one of the reasons why he didn't win was all of the changes to voting and more access to voting that gave more people more easy access to vote due to COVID. I mean, what did we have, 150, 160 million people vote?
Yeah.
More people voted than ever. Trump got more votes as the president than any other president had in the past. His problem is not getting – he's not trying to get more votes. He's trying to harden up his 35-40% of the Republican Party and absolutely depress the other side
that's going after Biden. That's key to winning is he has to depress the other side. Correct. He has to keep his side and depress the other side because that's the magic formula for him.
Which he has to spend no effort on keeping his side. He has that. So once he gets rid of Haley, and I think you've already seen him start pivoting to this, he can go after Biden. But this is my point. If you don't think Trump's going to win because he's not going to attract voter X, Y, or Z, I think that's irrelevant. He has his voters. He knows who they are. They're going to vote for him energetically, enthusiastically. Somehow he took that 30% of the Republican Party. Then he took over, what, another 35-40% of it? Of people that were supposed to be normies, he took them over too. Who else is he going to get? He's not going to get suburban women.
Yeah,
he's not going to get young people. He's not even trying. He doesn't have to.
I'm just saying a lot of those normies that have voted for him in 2020, and they're not going to vote for him now. The challenge is that those normies stay home or they vote third party instead of voting for Biden. And that's really what would hurt Biden.
Of the 30% Haley's going to get on Super Tuesday, how many of those are Biden voters?
I think
5%.
I think it'd be 10%.
10%?
Yeah.
Maybe against Trump, that is. I guess there's just my biggest fear going into this for Biden is Biden cannot present a case of urgency and importance to why he needs a second term. And he can't do that simply because his age and all the things that come along with being an 82-year-old dude.
Yeah.
And Biden plays by a different set of rules than Trump does. And Trump's just been able to establish that with the Republican Party. Trump says weird shit, stumbles through, nobody. It doesn't have the same impact on his campaign as it does for Biden.
Well, and I think for whatever reason, people have that baked in with Trump. And again, I think part of it gets into the cult factor. I mean, Trump can say and do anything, sure, and his voters are not going to. There was on one of Sarah Longwell's focus groups, there was one Trump MAGA voter who said the only thing that would keep her from voting for Trump is if he died or was in jail. Nothing else he would do, like literally no other crime would keep her from voting for him. I mean, that's a sentiment that so many people share.
He still scratches that itch she needs scratched.
Yeah.
He still pisses off the people that she doesn't like. And that's his superpower and always has been.
And that's what so there is no policy here. There's no policy when people voted for Trump. Nope. It's all about just
vibes, feelings.
Yes.
You don't like the people I don't like. And guess what? You still don't like them. And I like them even less than I did 4 years ago.
He feeds into the resentment. He makes them feel good. He says what they have wanted to say out loud for so long and haven't. Yeah. That's it.
I just don't see how the Democrats and Biden are going to pull this out. I hate to say this, Brandon, but I think we're headed to Trump 2.0.
I'm saying elections are a binary choice. So at the end of the day, I mean, yes, as much as people loathe both candidates and they have serious, serious issues with Biden's age and eligibility, the fact of the matter remains that the president is much more than just that single person. It's all of the people that he appoints to his cabinet, people that run the various agencies, the vast apparatus of the federal government. And so you contrast Biden's very experienced, very competent, in many cases very young cabinet and executive branch with what Trump would do, he would appoint all of these unqualified political hacks who are super loyal to him only, enact Schedule F on day one, which means he would fire all of the career civil
He's
servants.
He's threatening that
That you're talk about disarray. I mean, that would just be chaos at every level of the government.
Trump 2.0 is going to be a banger. It's going to be the chain.
But that's the case that Biden has to make. You may think I'm too old. You may not like me, but it's stability, it's competence versus chaos. And really those people who have been involved, especially he needs surrogates, young surrogates, to go out there and make that case for him.
You can't run a presidential campaign through a surrogate. It has to be the candidate. The president is the only position that is elected by the entire country. I mean,
well, like, but at the same time, both campaigns typically have surrogates to go out for. I mean, Trump has surrogates.
I get that, but Karl Rove, 101, it's got to be somebody you want to have a beer with. The president is somebody that you vote for that a lot of times you feel like you have a personal connection to. Biden does not have that, and he cannot get it. It is awful when he is on camera.
I would argue that he had that at one point, which is why he became
Years ago, though?
Yeah.
He didn't campaign in 2020. It was the COVID era.
That's true. He was in his basement. It was very different. And that's what has made me very afraid about this election, because this is not going to be like 2020. He has to be out there.
That's
right. He has to be doing all these rallies.
I'm not trying to take a giant dump on Joe Biden, but I do think nothing aggravates me more when you turn on Morning Joe and here comes some asshole commentary from New York that says, well, I'm in meetings with the president 3 times a week and he's as sharp as he's ever been. Fuck off. He is not. That is not the president. That's not Biden. Nobody's being honest with, as I'm talking about Democrats now. I don't think anybody's being honest with us. I think they are not telling us kind of where Biden is. They've not shared any strategy to how we're going to win this race, other than Trump's an idiot. We all know that. I guess I'm asking, give me something. Biden, give me anything to gravitate. I will come back to you if you just do just the tiniest of tiny of tiny. I just have no confidence that he can do that.
Is there something he could do at the State Union address this Thursday that would give you a flash of confidence?
Turn the monitor off. Go off script. When some Republican yells at him, go at him for 4 or 5 minutes. Show me that you can have an off script, spontaneous conversation about something relevant. That would go a really, really long way.
Okay.
As the president of the United States, that may be the lowest bar ever been set.
Well, I mean, we're in a campaign cycle of like the lowest bar possible on all sides. So, and I am less of like a super Biden fan than just more of like the stakes are so high this election, and the consequences to a Trump presidency and what that means, not just for us, but around the world, what it means for Ukraine, what it means for NATO. It scares me to no end, because and again, this is going to be very elitist and philosophical of me, but the world order, as we have come to know it over the last 50 years, established post-World War II by none other than former Republican President Dwight Eisenhower, is in jeopardy like we've never seen it before. And China and Russia are poised to take advantage of that and the void that we leave. And we're playing right into their hands, and
we are.
People seemingly don't care.
There's a couple things that I've realized the last couple months, that things that I grew up on are no longer relevant to politics. The biggest one is, I grew up, and you probably did too, all politics is local.
No longer the case at all.
All politics are national. The American presence around the world in a leadership role is a good thing. Nope. That's not how we feel today. We want to we abandoned Afghanistan after 20 years. You can say right or wrong. We're about to bail on Ukraine. And I don't know what our Israel position is.
No. Well, and Trump has already signaled, too, that we would not come to Taiwan's defense in any capacity.
Correct.
So, I mean, we're sending the signal to our allies that we can't be trusted. And the problem is, not only those like very stalwart allies that we've always had, but those allies on the periphery, countries that are developing rapidly, like India, like Brazil, they are going to realize that they can't trust us, and we're pushing them into the arms of China and Russia.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we are. For some reason, we have, and I guess I can tie this back to Trump, or this started when Trump became president, that American power is seen almost as offensive to Americans when we exert it overseas. And there used to be the phrase that, you know, if there's a power vacuum, something's going to fill it. And the world was better if America filled those vacuums.
Right.
So I think that not only is not in political, it's not that that's just not in political fashion. The Republicans don't believe that anymore. This is part of this whole why we're not pivoting back to something more traditional is there's nobody left to make that pivot. That ground doesn't exist. If you were a Republican running for Senate, Congress, president, maybe even at the local level, and you came out with, I support Ukraine, I support NATO, you're not going anywhere.
No, and this is what's crazy, too, because immediately it shows how quickly things can change. Immediately after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, large percentages of Republicans as Democrats supported the war, and now that's flipped. It's very high on the Democratic side, but not so much on the Republican side. It's very low. And the Republicans have done a good job. I would want to say the MAGA Republicans, people like J.D. Vance, others, you know, pushed by people like Tucker Carlson, who are useful idiots to Putin, of this moral equivalence game or moral ambiguity that Russia's not so bad. Like, Putin's, you know, we should think about what he's trying to do. Like, exactly. Oh, look, they have the little shopping carts where you like can get Aldi. A coin. Yeah. Or the moving walkways like IKEA. Like, oh, look at this. Like, and it's insane to me that any of this flies with anybody, but it does.
I can't rip on Tucker Carlson, because if somebody walked in here right now, Brandon, and put like a $10 million check in front of me and said, all you have to do is make an idiot of yourself on cable, on the internet for that. Sure, I'd do it. I mean, he's just, I don't know what this is. Again, this tying Tucker Carlson's interview with Putin back into the modern Republican Party. Who is that for? Because when I look at that, I'm like, well, who's watching this? But I'm using the wrong lens.
Right.
That is the Republican Party.
That is the modern, yeah.
That is the modern Republican Party.
CPAC this year had the authoritarian leader of Nicaragua, I think. If I recall correctly, he was one of their keynote speakers. I mean, Viktor Orban was there. Yeah, like all the. But they NBC
had a lot of Nazis there too, throwing salutes at each other. Yeah.
This was definitely not the CPAC that I used to go to at all. I mean, it's been completely taken over, and I cannot emphasize how many people I know who used to go to CPAC who no longer do. And for those who are watching, it gave me a lot of satisfaction, the fact that they had a lot of empty seats. Like, it was much less turnout this year.
Well, isn't Schlapp? He's been a big molester, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's grabbing
young
dudes
men.
And stuff.
And subpoenas. And, there's all kinds of stuff going on. And he's still in charge of CPAC. He hasn't lost his position. But they interviewed – NBC News interviewed this attendee, this woman, who remarked about Nicaragua's president. Like, we need somebody like that over here. Like, we need an authoritarian impulse, somebody who can just do things unobstructed. Like, that is – as frightening as that is, like, that sentiment is growing among the MAGA base. Like, there are people that – adhere to that. And you see that in the polling too, in terms of extra constitutional authority and what people start to think the president should be able to do. And, you know, again, we're just, the goalposts are moving, you know, we're like, gravity is shifting. It's just, it's,
you know this much more than I. Politics is a team sport.
Yeah.
You've worked on the Hill before. You got to play on a team. It might suck, but you got to play a role. And when the team tells you to do something, there's times you just got to do it. The modern Republican Party has decided they're not playing team sports anymore.
No.
I mean, what's happening in Congress is just absolutely ridiculous. And this idea, and God damn it, I hate that. This is the thing I hate the most about politics. And I call it the Ted Cruz effect. Well, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to stop Obamacare, or I'm going to get this done. No, you ain't.
Yeah.
You're one vote, you peckerhead.
You're not going to do it.
And people like
but it's
Marjorie,
about building a brand.
Well, let's impeach Mayorkas and we're going to get this. No, you're not. You're not going to get anything done. You're struggling. I guess they passed something to keep the government open. They got to pass some more this week.
It was
week
just an
or
extension,
something.
Though. Like, it, I mean, just, again, kicks the can down the road. It
the
doesn't
basic
solve
functions
it.
Of government you can't handle.
No.
One lunatic congressperson from rural Georgia isn't going to do shit. And I think we just have to get back more to that reality.
At some point, we need to pass some type of legislation to stop these continual votes on the debt ceiling as well, because it serves nobody. Instead, it just brings us to the brink of calamity over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And clearly, we've reached a point where we have enough members of Congress that see that as a opportunity to grandstand. And so they don't care the damage that it does or the fact that it brings everything to a halt. And we find ourselves in this place again and again. before 2013, how many times did we have these debt limit standoffs?
None.
Never. We never reached this point.
Because it's silly. Because it's just part of funding the government.
And there was broad consensus because we had reasonable, like normal people elected on both sides who are like, "This, we wouldn't do this. It's irresponsible. This is stupid." No. Like, and we don't have those people anymore.
You just said the word normal. I can't find a path back to what I would consider normal.
Normal, yeah.
And I don't think that normal exists anymore.
No, it's...
I mean, the Republicans have proven with their 2 years of running the House, they can't be trusted to run a branch of government.
No, it's been chaos and
just
a circus.
Absolute ridiculousness.
And it makes Kevin McCarthy look like competent by comparison.
I can't... Matt Gaetz is another one. Just an example.
Slimy.
Here's the getting this back to Trump, Biden, the election. So where Biden is in a much stronger position than Trump. Number one is money. The Democrats are sitting on a ton of cash. The Republicans are dirt poor, and they're not going to get out of that financial position because there's no way to get out of that financial position because Trump's going to steal every penny you get for his legal defense.
Yep.
And they've just decided, well, okay, okay. That's one advantage. The second advantage they have is the party structure is still in place. We still have folks like Tlaib and all that are causing problems for Biden, like in Michigan,
right,
with the protest vote. But at the end of the day, they will snap in line and they will do what the party wants them to do.
Yes. But by the way, just a little tangent. I do think that the media focus on that protest vote in Michigan was a little bit over the top.
Way over the top.
When you compare it to historical, President Obama in 2012, 11% protest vote against him in Michigan.
Yep.
And, you know, and in terms of the raw vote, Biden actually got more votes than Obama. But again, yeah, they increased that protest vote. But overall, this was like not a groundswell. I mean, it wasn't like we're not talking about 30% protest vote against him.
What percentage of no comment or no commit votes are there tonight through Super Tuesday? I had somebody text me today that he thought it was going to be 10 or 15%. I'm like, that's way too high.
It's going to be single digits.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know what's interesting too is that uncommitted vote, nobody was able. The actual opponent, you know, the Dean Phillips, wasn't able to benefit from that. He was mired at 1.6%.
Ever heard that guy talk? God, he's a bit. Yes. Yeah. He just comes off like a corporate board member. He has no future in politics.
Tim Miller did a pretty good interview with him, a hard hitting where he.
If you listen to that, he did. I thought he came off just terrible.
He did
in that interview.
But yeah, I mean, he hasn't gained any traction, and so again, he would have been the one. But no, I don't expect. I do think it'll be interesting to watch tonight to see again the margins, particularly Trump, Nikki Haley, if like there's any states where she goes above 40% or higher. Yeah.
Because Virginia, maybe,
especially swing states. Yeah. Like Virginia, you know, Pennsylvania.
But she drops out after tonight, doesn't she?
Yeah. I don't see. There's no need. So there'd be no way to stay in. Yeah.
I mean, she can still do some speeches and run around and shit and be at the convention, but she's not going to.
And the question is, does she endorse Trump? Which I think we talked about offline. Like, what does that happen? I have a hard time seeing that at this point, just because she has gone so far out there and made so many comments to the contrary in terms of she, you know, won't agree to abide by the RNC pledge. She's refusing to commit to it, at least at this point when she's been asked about it. So there's just so much. I mean, she could, but I would not see like an immediate endorsement coming out.
Nikki Haley will chase power. Nikki Haley is either burning the boats on her political career, and Vivek Ramaswamy's wife, she'll join the board of multiple fakes, and this is about money, and she's cashing out and cashing corporate, which, hey, that's what most politicians do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think she's doing.
That's probably it. I do think politically she may be waiting for like an existential crisis.
Sure,
to Trump
if it
out,
pops up,
so that she would be the person left standing.
But
which
do you have
about.
Any doubt in your mind that she'd be the VP to get to that executive level?
Yeah, but I don't think Trump would pick her to be VP at this point. I mean, he's already said absolutely not.
This VP pick is so important because I think this person will be president in the 4 year time that Trump wins. I think there's when Trump won last time, I can remember you and I talking and me saying something like there's a 51% chance Trump gets impeached or goes to jail. Because the United States president is one of the most complicated jobs in the world. It opens you to legal exposure in ways that nothing else does. Trump has no experience in this. He's going to go out.
Right.
I think if Trump gets reelected, I think there's a 70% chance he does not complete that term. Health crisis, mental decline, just does something blatantly so illegal. His VP pick, I mean, that is, I think you're going to be sitting in the position you want when 2028 rolls around.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Nikki Haley would take that job at a second. And Trump would give it to her because he loves embarrassing people that have gone against him, a la Tim Scott. But I just have no, Nikki Haley's an empty vessel. She'll do whatever power dictates. She does. I just don't like Nikki Haley at all.
I'm hoping that maybe she has finally found her soul, but you're probably right.
Somebody who hadn't found their soul was Tim Scott.
Oh, my gosh, that guy.
What an embarrassment.
When he was on stage with Trump and then Trump was needling him for not endorsing Haley, even though Haley appointed him to the seat, like, that was so cringy. And, I mean, watching it from the outside, it was so awful. And then how he kind of just laughs it off and he's like, oh, because I really like you, or I just love you more.
I just love you more. Like, good God.
I'm like, could you be, like, pandering anymore?
I mean,
like,
but again, he's a heartbeat away from the presidency on a guy that – do you think Trump could make 4 years if he gets his
– I don't think so, no.
I don't think he is either. So, but, I mean, I get why Tim Scott's saying, this is my chance. I can't get it on my own, so I'll do whatever I need to do.
But for people to sell out like that, it's just – it's so – yeah. I mean, I haven't been a Tim Scott fan for a long time because I thought he has sold out a long time ago. But, I mean, he just – yeah.
What's funny is when you run for president, everything people say about you winds up to be true.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Ron DeSantis was just a weird little dude who could not deal with a crowd of people effectively. It's true. Tim Scott he never passed a piece of legislation in his life. He's an empty suit. There's nothing to him. Got out in the presidential campaign. That came to fruition very quickly.
I mean, there's nobody trying harder for VP, though, than Elise Stefanik. Oh, I mean, she has made it her life's mission. I mean, every time you see her on a major news show or given an interview, I mean, it is so transparent. Like, I mean, it's not even subtle.
No, she would do anything for that role. So as we get close to quitting time here, I just don't have a lot of hope going into this election cycle. I don't think this is the cycle where anything gets corrected. This is the cycle where it gets worse before it gets better. I just don't see anything improving out of this.
Even the best outcome, which somehow...
What's the best outcome, Brandon? Tell me your best outcome for the 2024 election.
Well, okay. Best outcome would be that somehow there would be a...
a double loss?
Engineered change where Biden would be replaced on the ticket and the Democrats would ride to victory by a large margin over Trump.
So your best prescription politically moving forward is a Democrat other than Joe Biden becomes president.
Yes.
And beats Donald Trump.
Very unlikely, okay. But yes.
Gotcha.
But
and I'm with you. That's the best case scenario. Percentage chance you think that'll happen?
8.
I was going to say 2, but yeah, it's very low.
But assuming that doesn't happen, if Biden were somehow to restore confidence, somehow to do well, to stay upright and to win, like, it would still, like, I am still very afraid because we know that Trump would, again, say the election is rigged, undoubtedly, right? It doesn't matter. There would still probably be attempts to steal. There would still be violence. I just think no matter what the outcome is, like, there is going to be bad things that happen, and we have to be prepared for that because it's going to be ugly.
Who takes the loss worse? Is it worse if Biden wins? Is it worse if Trump wins? Oh, that could be a toss-up.
Oh, I mean, in some ways, though, I think it's obvious. I mean, Biden isn't going to claim that the election was stolen and then go on some type of, like, fundraising.
MAGA is going to go batshit crazy. They will melt down.
They won't let it stay. I mean, it will be one of those.
They will never accept it.
If you have to be in their minds and realize that when so many of them think that the last election was stolen and that they see this as like a retribution tour, and then if it happens again, like, I mean, again, I don't want to speculate on what that would manifest itself into, but it could be very, very ugly.
I mean, we
have to be prepared for that.
4 years talking about this man's a corpse. This was stolen from Trump. There is no way, if you pulled a MAGA person out of one of those rallies and asked them, is it possible for Trump to lose? They would say no. So I think if
even what we know is not going to happen, for example, like Trump is not going to win New York State, but yet he's going out and telling his supporters he's going to win New York over Biden by a big margin. He is setting the stage even in places where he's going to have an unlikely victory for people to think something went awry and something was rigged. And that's the problem, because if going all the way back to 2016 when Trump lost Iowa, if you remember, he said it was rigged in the primary.
Ted Cruz. Right. That bastard.
Yep. So this has been, you know, Trump's MO from the get-go. Before he won against Hillary, election night, before the returns were in, he was saying that if he were to lose, it was going to be rigged. I mean, said this over and over again.
Because it's made him more popular. He says it because it works.
But why? Why does it work?
Because people are convinced that people are – I don't know. I don't know how you could pull the shit he pulled after the election and get more popular. The only thing, Brandon, that ever has made sense this past 6 months is Biden is so unpopular.
Yeah.
The only reason Trump has this space to maneuver is the weakness of Biden. And what really aggravates me, and probably Republicans too, if a Bill Clinton would have showed up right now, we would bury the Republican Party.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, we would bury them for a decade. If anybody showed up with any political talent at all on the Republican side or the Dem side, they could really, really establish themselves moving forward in their party. We're just out of political talent, it seems.
Well, I would argue there are those people with political talent, but they're not stepping up. I mean, they're not running. That's been the problem. I mean, you have people that are elected governor level who are doing very well in their states, who are very popular.
If I'm the king of the Democrats, I just tell Kamala Harris, you're off the ticket. And then I just ask, do you want Newsom or Whitmer? But we're just the easiest thing that we can do is to pull
a ticket with both of them
and put
both of them
somebody
on the same
else
ticket.
On.
Yeah.
And just say, hey,
Gretchen Whitmer won re-election by 10 points in Michigan. I mean,
the Republicans put a ton of energy and effort in trying to get rid of her. Tudor Dixon was a poor.
That was another one. Yeah.
That was another bad selection. Well, Brandon, the world feels like it's just melting down right now, and nothing's going to get better.
There's no return to normal.
No.
The only thing that I have been finding comfort on in terms of like comfort television is a redux or return to 90s early aughts is the fact that Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've caught that. Yeah. So that's been kind of
fun. I do like Jon Stewart.
He totally ripped Tucker Carlson apart, and that was kind of fun to watch.
That's idiotic. I would say he should be embarrassed, but.
Why?
He just cashed a big check. And
well, do you see when he was at that forum in Doha and he was asked by the moderator about the fact that Putin kills his enemies?
Leadership is killing people.
Yeah. Like,
okay, great.
What? I mean, that really? Like,
how? How is that seen as serious?
Yes, that's my
point. How are millions of people viewing and looking at that and saying, this guy's onto something? I don't.
Or the fact that Tucker Carlson's lawyers argued in court that he should not be held liable for what he says on his program because he's an entertainer.
They did that years ago. I feel like in some ways I'm losing my mind because I look at some of this and say, how is anybody falling for any of this shit? Another thing, too, that's happened for me the last 6 months, all podcasts now suck.
Yeah.
I listen to a ton of political podcasts. They've all just gone to shit. Most ones on the liberal, it's just the complete defense of Biden and the Democrats. The Republican and conservative stuff is not even listenable anymore as they've just slid off the reservation. I guess the point I'm trying to make is places to go to actually get info, it's getting harder and harder and harder to find.
Mm-hmm.
Because even people that have been trusted in the past, they're just leaning into this a bit much. People's defense of Biden you've got to get that under control a little bit because it's not
some
working.
Realism. Yeah.
It's not real. And it, you can't tell me what a piece of shit liar Trump is, and I shouldn't believe anything he says, and he's a bad, bad, immoral person. Then turn around and tell me Joe Biden is physically and mentally nimble enough to do four more years of the presidency. That's not a good faith argument you're making to me.
It's not being honest.
But I don't know. No one's going to break that, so... We usually ask, you know, have you done anything good? But it's been a while since we've talked to each other. We're both going through parental aging issues, yes. Which that is absolutely no fun.
No.
What about your travel schedule? You going to Europe anytime up in the upcoming future?
Yes.
Yeah, parachute into Poland or anything again?
So I definitely want to go back to Poland. So looking at doing that sometime like late fall on like Czechia, so Prague. But summer going to Barcelona, so that'll be fun. I've never been there. And then a lot of just kind of like domestic travel here and there, so that'll be good.
Can't we just tell Poland and Finland, just take Russia out? Ukraine softened them up. They're pulling their tanks out of a museum.
Well, look, we've had some good wins that we would not have had under Trump. Sweden now ascending to NATO, Finland. I mean, the expansion of the NATO alliance. Like, I mean, those are good moves.
We got in this argument over the phone today, but in 2030, when President Vance pulls us out of NATO, the NATO thing and the Republicans, that's over. I mean, the next Republican president that grabs the wheel, look out. Because
I can't even fathom. Yeah.
Because let's put it this way. The next Republican president is not going to be Mitt Romney.
It won't be anybody in that mold.
It's going to be Holly. It's going to be Vance. That's what's coming.
This ascended populist wing. Yeah,
absolutely. Because they just, from a media perspective, too, they have wiped out the normies or the typical media. I mean, your Charlie Kirk, Steve Bannion's, Jack Posobiec's, these podcasts are getting millions and millions of downloads. It more people are getting their information on the right from the alt or the fringe right than from even Fox News. Fox News is considered mainstream media.
Yeah, it's not anymore. Even, yeah, listen to it. And I don't know how you combat that. Like that's,
you can't. That's the thing. You can't. Media's become. How do you deliver a central message to your constituents?
Well, yeah, but you can't. It's not like it used to be at all. But we can never be on the same page as a country. I mean, because of that, I don't understand. I mean, there's never going to be any type of consensus or
we can't pick the book. There's 100 pages. We can't pick the page. We can't decide. It just feels like
we're living in a choose your own reality, essentially. Yes, and it's like the choose your own adventure books. It's choose your own reality. And everybody gets their own and they silo themselves in their own medium and they consume, 24/7. And there was a Trump voter who was interviewed by somebody on these Man the Street things. These Man and Women the Street interviews drive me crazy because these people are just, it's so illogical. And then I get frustrated. But there was this man who basically said he keeps OAN on basically 24/7, nice. Always has a TV on. So even in the background, when he's working, when he's cooking, like that's constantly just in his brain. And
have you ever watched OAN?
Just clips. I've not watched
shit
it.
Show.
I can't. Yeah, I can't do it.
It's not worth your time.
OAN and Newsmax are just,
they're not
ridiculous.
They're not great. Okay, well, Brandon, I guess that's our hour this week. I think we're going to try to be a little bit more consistent as we get into the election, and certainly try to ride this all the way to whatever happens in 2024. But I do think that if Trump wins, we have to retire from even attempting. I think I'm out of gas at that point.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll have the mental stamina to do a podcast anymore. So.
Oh, my God, the Trump 2.0 presidency. All right, that's our hour. Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, Craig.
Thanks for listening to 2 Men in the Middle. Make sure to give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Check out our website at 2meninthemiddle.com. Drop us an email at 2meninthemiddle@gmail.com or tweet at us at 2meninthemiddle. We'll see you next week.